This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's Thursday, Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2019. Thanks for joining us. We have a bouquet of business news and information for you on the Noon Business Hour. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. This afternoon and this evening, it's not too bad. It's warmer than it was last week. Later today, blustery, turning much colder with a low temperature of 11. Right now, it's 47 degrees at O'Hare and 44 at the lakefront.
Markets are staging a bit of a turnaround as the WBBM Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's get the latest on trading from Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
Rob, that's helping not just Amazon shares come back from deeper losses, but is part of the recovery story. Amazon's decision to not move forward with a campus in New York City on Long Island, that has the stock, as I mentioned, coming back. And the NASDAQ has turned positive. It's up 0.33% or 24 points. The Dow's losses cut to just 27 points, and the S&P is up a fraction. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is slower. It was a stunning retreat. Retail sales dropped in December by the most in 9 years. They fell more than 1%. The weakness was across the board, and that suggests turmoil on Wall Street and in Washington rattled consumers, although some analysts are saying the data may be skewed. Jobless claims rose to 239,000 last week after hitting a half-century low a few weeks earlier. The data could reflect the lingering impact of the 35-day government shutdown. And finally, the producer price index dropped in January for a second month. So no sign of inflation, at least on the wholesale level. Back to you, Rob and Chris.
And on today's Noon Business Hour, we've heard the word recession voiced a couple of times this morning. We're going to be asking what's behind that. And a segment on Valentine's Day called Love Scams and Catfish. And, well, you just have to join us.
Yes, you don't want to be the Manti Te'o of your family. It's Technology Thursday. We'll talk about digital home invasions, people with bad intentions breaking into your Nest system. And then we'll ratchet up the romance here on the Noon Business Hour and talk about when is a good time in your relationship to bring up the word money. We'll talk about all that and more.
Information you can bank on. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Valentine's Day is a time for romance, of course, and love-related scams as well. We're going to learn all about that in the next segment. Right now, Congress is set to vote on a bipartisan border security spending plan. While the report on retail sales for December's out, we're going to take a look at that, too. We're joined by Joel Naroff, president of Naroff Economic Advisors in Holland, Pennsylvania. Joel, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Do we think that Congress is going to get together on this move pretty quickly?
I would be surprised if they didn't. There's no question that it has to get done. It's a deal. And in Washington, a deal's generally a deal. It's time to move past this and start focusing on how we move forward at this particular point. And indeed, as far as investors are concerned, I think this was more of an annoyance than it was something fundamental. It's the trade that they're more focusing on at this particular point.
Let's move over to spending for a moment. Was there something off here for the Christmas season? Were we not getting as much sales as we thought?
Wow, this was a real surprise, to say the least. You went through December and into January, and we're hearing all of these reports of phenomenal internet sales, that even a lot of bricks and mortar firms did better than expected. Then we see this December retail sales report, and it looked like we were in the midst of not a recession, a depression. I mean, this was the largest drop in over 9 years since 2009, and it was across the board. We didn't even get increases in internet or in restaurants where we've been getting it. So this was an odd report. It was a surprisingly disappointing report. And honestly, it's hard to know what to make of it.
Is this a situation where you're going to have to wait for the next report to see if it averages out? I mean, when do you break out the siren and say there's trouble ahead?
No, you're absolutely right on that. We've gotten a couple of very, very odd economic reports since the shutdown began. We had a very large employment number, much larger than expected, yet a huge revision to the previous month. We had a massive reduction in the trade deficit, and now we see a huge decline in retail sales. I don't know what's going on. But I think what you have to do is step back under those sets of circumstances and do exactly what you said. Let's see what happens when we get the January numbers. Although I'll be honest, I'm not particularly hopeful about the January numbers because of the government shutdown. You know, the sales have probably dropped as a result of that. And that could be ugly as well. I think it may be several months before we have any idea of what the consumer is really doing.
It does bring up an interesting philosophical question, because over the last four decades or so, it's been an article of faith among some that government workers and government employees are not essential and create a great deal of bureaucratic bloat. And yet when you take them out of the economic equation, when they're not spending money, the economy really feels it.
They absolutely do make a difference. You know, when you shut them down to the extent that they were shut down, you know, they didn't completely reduce spending. They spent on things that they absolutely had to. But when you look at the retail sales numbers, that's where you're going to be seeing a decline. And I think more importantly, you know, the government workers are going to be changing their spending patterns. This is not a short-term temporary impact. If you're working for the government, you have to be prepared that any given year you may be facing this, you know, situation where you don't have income coming in. So I would not be surprised if their spending habits get permanently changed as a result of that. They do make a difference. They're not superfluous. For those of us who are economists, we depend tremendously on the data that they produce, and we're very thankful for them.
Well, we'll talk to you in a few weeks about the January sales and to see how things are going. Thanks so much for joining us. Joel Naroff, president of Naroff Economic Advisors in Holland, Pennsylvania. Coming up, how Valentine's Day is a strong reminder to be aware of scams if you're looking for love.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The Better Business Bureau estimates more than 1 million Americans have been targeted in romance scams over the past 3 years. Let's learn how to avoid falling victim from Adam Levin, founder of Cyber Scout and author of the book Swiped, How to Protect Yourself in a World Full of Scammers, Phishers, and Identity Thieves, based in New York. Adam, welcome to the special Valentine's Day edition of the Noon Business Hour, where romance is in the air. And Adam, you're telling me that
don't trust anyone.
I mean, you're telling me that the bikini model who's added me on Facebook and Instagram may not be on the up and up?
Well, no, that bikini model contacted me and asked me to let you know that she's okay.
Well, that's good to know. I think most people are familiar with the catfishing from the Manti Te'o story that came out 6 years ago, the former college football star who claimed he had the girlfriend who died and that it turned out she didn't exist. That was probably right. The introduction of catfishing to everyone. But how prevalent is this practice and how many people fall for it?
Oh, no, you're talking about thousands upon thousands of people that fall for it worldwide. Not to mention the fact that you're talking about a $1 billion industry. And it really is perpetrated by people all over the world. We've even seen instances in the United States where a mother-daughter team were writing to different women as if they were lonely soldiers who had been deployed in the Middle East. And now we have a series of scams by people representing themselves to be lonely female members of the military contacting men in the U.S. And around the world as well. So it's really both genders are being targeted, and it's really been a growth industry for a number of people, and it's very sad.
What's the first sign that this is all wrong?
First sign is they move too fast. After two or three email, all of a sudden, They want to have your child. They want you to have their child. You're the only person they've ever fallen in love with. It's like the end of the world as they know it if they can't keep communicating with you and seeing you.
And then once they've established that emotional bond, that's when they start asking for – do they ask you for your personal information, or do they glean those details from the conversations you may have online?
It's a combination of things. They will ask you for certain personal information about yourself as if they're trying to get you to know you better. They might ask you for more intimate details of your financial life. They may ask you for photographs. They may send you risque photographs of themselves and ask you to send a photographs that you have. The only problem is it's not their photograph, but it unfortunately could be your photograph, and suddenly you could be targeted for extortion and things like that. They ask for that. They will ask you to send money because they really want to come visit you or they're having a crisis. This is when they become drama kings and queens, that there's a child has been kidnapped, a project they were working on collapsed, and if they only had a little bit more funding, they could make it work. And then they can't seem to be able to see you unless you do something for them. I really want to come visit you. I have no money. Can you send me money?
Yeah, right. It's sad because everyone wants to be loved, but certainly not like that. Thanks for joining us today. Adam Levin, founder of Cyber Scout, author of the book Swiped, How to Protect Yourself in a World Full of Scammers, Phishers, and Identity Thieves in New York. And still ahead, Technology Thursday, how the connected house can leave homeowners vulnerable.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Now WBBM Business from Bloomberg, and here's Elisa Parenti.
Well, Rob, it's an improving picture. The Dow is lower, but just by 42 points, and the NASDAQ is positive, up 20 or a quarter percent. S&P down 1 point. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is lower. Amazon's pulling back from that promise of as many as 40,000 jobs in New York City over the next 20 years. They had said that the average salary would be $150,000, so those would have been tech and management jobs. Amazon says it will proceed with plans for other major offices at a site in Northern Virginia and Nashville. And the quote from the statement is, "We will continue to hire and grow across our 17 corporate offices and tech hubs in the U.S. and Canada." Crude oil futures up 1% today to $54.43 a barrel. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
Grain prices are lower. Corn and wheat due to poor exports. Soybeans on cancellations of exports. We have December corn down 3 at 399.5. November beans down 10 and 3 quarters at 948. And July wheat down 13 at 513.5. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are mixed at this hour. We'll see what's moving the markets.
In Technology Thursday, the connected home can make life easier, but there are some tech-related drawbacks.
On this Valentine's Day, we explore the importance of financial compatibility in relationships.
Chicago police are speaking with two people of interest in connection with alleged attacks on Empire actor Jussie Smollett.
Amazon drops New York City as one of the locations for its new headquarters, saying it will not search for another.
On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials down 28 points, the NASDAQ up by 22, S&P 500 up by a fraction.
AccuWeather says mostly cloudy, breezy, milder with a brief shower or two this afternoon, a high of 48. It's 47 degrees in Chicago as the Noon Business Hour continues, presented by Old Second Bank.
Well, the markets are sneaking back from earlier lows. We're joined by Jeff Kilberg, CEO of KKM Financial here in Chicago. Jeff, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. We're watching the numbers come back. Why is that?
Well, it's Valentine's Day, Chris, and we're finding a little bit of love after a pretty tough retail sales number this morning. We did see markets have some pressure. They sold off stocks, but they have been buying across the board, and it's interesting to see. I know we have had some Cisco earnings buoy that, but at the end of the day, I think it all goes to the heart of the conversation. The sentiment driving the stock market since that horrible Christmas Eve trading session has been about these trade tariffs, the support of the Fed and trade tariffs. But today, I think President Trump is trying to make a deal. And if we can get some type of trade tariff deal, that is really going to produce a lot of optimism due to the fact that it's going to remove a lot of fear and a lot of uncertainty from some of these S&P 500 companies.
Yeah, it was interesting. About a half an hour ago, we were talking about the results and of spending in December, and the numbers were terrible.
You're right. And I think that was the whole component, that the trade tariffs were really going to be affecting companies and their forward guidance. And you know, there have been some great earnings. I mean, we look at Cisco, it surged on its Q2 earnings, right? It was up $12.5 billion on the quarter. That's 5% up year over year. So there has been some great little components of that, but it's all this uncertainty, this forward guidance of what is it going to look like? What are these trade tariffs really going to be? So if we could get our teeth into that this week, I think there's a little bit more room to the upside. But if we have, for whatever reason, if we have some type of falter come out of the administration in China, I think that's going to be negative from a sentiment perspective. We could see stocks really come off quickly.
Jeff, what are kind of reset the debate here over the tariff situation with China? What is the main sticking point between our two countries? And then what could be considered substantial progress, if any, if the two nations strike a deal in the near future?
Well, Rob, I really try to keep politics to the side here and focus on the trading component, but I think it's fundamentally any type of renegotiation is a win. Think about when these trade tariffs, the whole reason, if you rewind a couple of decades ago, is because China was a third world country. We were trying to give a lot of incentives to do business. Well, they're no longer a third world country. So leveling the playing field, I think, is critical for U.S. corporations, but I think it comes back to the IP. When you're trying to sell a product in China, you have to essentially hand over an intellectual property. And we can't do that anymore. There's no other country in the world that asks for that to do business. So we could just get some of these rules reconfigured. I think that's a really optimistic thing for the whole global economy.
And then talking about the consumer spending, the retail sales for December, obviously that is a number that jumps off the page and really makes you think. But you obviously have to wait for a larger sample size, probably see January and then this month too, to see if the effects of the government shutdown roll off the books or if that pessimism is here to stay.
Well, unequivocally, the retail sales numbers was disappointing. You're absolutely right about that, Rob. But we have seen a highlight in some of the numbers. Look at the data point on the non-farm payrolls, the jobs number. We are producing jobs. So you're right. It is a little bit concerning that we're seeing some of these numbers. But by and large, when you've seen the stronger data and the numbers that we look at, if it's GDP, if it's the NFP, which is non-farm payrolls, that's important. But remember what happened at the end of December. The Federal Reserve came out and they're comments, their forecast of having three additional rate hikes in 2019, they flipped. They turned around a complete 180 degrees on that and said, we'll wait and see. So that has really bolstered markets as the Fed has kind of put a safety net back underneath the stock market again.
The numbers that come across our desk every day do contain multitudes. If you have an argument that you would like to prove, there is a statistic that will advance your case. Is that just an example of having too much information, or is that just been the economics throughout its history?
Well, there is a lot of noise out there, and I think the biggest driver right now in these markets, as we saw emotion really come back into the markets October, I think it's sentiment. And when you see sentiment flip to the way it did, it was so pessimistic. Everyone was talking about getting out of positions, and you really saw an oversold condition in December. Now all of a sudden, people are trying to take a breath and realize, okay, here we are 6 weeks later. The market is kind of back to where it was before all the melee that happened in December. But I think you really have to be more poised, understand your longer-term plan, and try and subdue all the noise, because there's just so much emotion, and I know over in Washington, D.C., they create a lot of that noise. So it's not going to be helpful in your longer-term goals.
Interesting to see who did well during the holiday season. Online and mail order and retail sales dropped almost 4%, but there were declines in clothing and furniture stores as well, and auto dealerships rose in December 1.0%.
Yeah, and I think you can argue both sides there. You can find some negativity and some positivity there, Chris. And I think right now what we're trying to focus on is understanding the consumer. Where is the consumer moving to? And we always talk about not where the puck is, it's where the puck is going. And you're absolutely right. These consumer devices that we continue to live on, if it's to get to Amazon or whatnot, or if you want that car to drive that job a little bit further, these are all critical components that we talk about that are essential to the U.S. economy and the American way of life.
Well, thank you very much for your insights. As always, Jeff Kilberg, the CEO of KKM Financial in Chicago. Coming up next in Technology Thursday, the hacking danger that's lurking in today's connected home.
The best daily deal in Chicago, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
And it's Technology Thursday. This afternoon, we're exploring the connected home and the security concerns that surround it. We welcome in Ali Marotti, technology reporter with the Chicago Tribune. Ali, welcome to the program. When you talk about the connected home, I'm guessing the number one or number two applications that come to mind immediately are the Nest, the thermostat system, and then maybe a smart baby monitor that you have that allows you to keep an eye on your child as they're napping, and you can look at the camera while you're at work. Is that like the two ways that hackers get into your home and cause trouble?
So there are multiple ways, actually, and I think you're right. I mean, the connected speakers or the smart speakers where you can ask Alexa the weather or tell Google to play music are really high up there in usage. But the interesting thing about those speakers is that they sort of, the majority of people are using them to, you know, have them read a recipe or, you know, like I said, listen to music. But more and more people are using them as control centers for their connected homes. And these connected devices are getting much farther reaching than just the connected thermostat, which, as you said, you know, you can, if you leave on vacation and forget to turn your heat down or something, you can do it from your phone. Right, but we're seeing everything from connected doorbells, connected refrigerators, connected toasters. The list goes on and on.
You you wrote a piece for the Chicago Tribune, Ali, in which you described a deep male voice speaking to a child whom the family didn't know at all, but he had gotten his voice in there, and there was a baby involved.
Yeah, so there was a family out in Lake Barrington that shared this story with me, and basically it was a lazy Sunday afternoon, evening. They had a baby monitor. They were downstairs. The baby was sleeping. They heard sort of a weird noise, so they went upstairs to check it out, and they were standing outside the baby's room because they didn't want to go in and wake him up, you know, because once you get your baby down, you don't want to wake him up, and that's when they heard this deep voice speaking to their baby. So obviously they barged in the room. As soon as they got in there, the voice stopped. Right. So they grabbed their son. He's 7 months old. He's fully awake at this point. And they head downstairs as they pass their Nest thermostat, because they had multiple connected devices in their home. And the family had been using Nest devices for several years. So the thermostat lights up when you walk by it. It's motion detected. So you can just get a quick glance at what temperature it is. They usually keep it around 70 degrees. And when they walked by, they noticed it had been turned up to 90 degrees, which isn't safe for a baby, right? Babies can't maintain homeostasis the same way adults can. So then when they got downstairs, one of the Nest cameras that they had downstairs lit up, which indicates that somebody's talking to you through the camera, because there's a speaker on the camera as well. And that's when they heard the voice again. And it started talking to them saying, why are you looking at me? You know, that sort of thing. And so obviously a very terrifying experience for new parents to have, for anybody to have. But it wasn't just them too. You know, we've seen reports coming in from around the country with similar incidents. After the story was published, I heard from a few other readers around the Chicago area too, that it had similar terrifying experiences. And I spoke with Nest and they said that they were not hacked. And what they think has happened is that these users were using passwords that they had used elsewhere, which they recommend not to do, and that basically a hacker may have gotten access to their passwords and then just tried them, seeing if they could get into their Nest accounts, and then were able to access those.
So it sounds like the solution is come up with complicated passwords, and if two-factor authentication is available, take advantage of it.
Right, yeah. The first thing they say to do with any connected device is to make sure you change the default password. So a lot of these devices will come with password set up. Like if you think about your internet router, also a connected device, also one where, you know, it comes with that really complicated long password that you think is probably safe because it's just a jumble of numbers and letters. But make sure you change that. Make sure it's something that, you know, can't be easily Googled, right? Don't put your kid's birthday on there or something like that because people can find that out online pretty easily. And you got to think too about hackers these days. It's not just people sitting in their parents' basement, like, you know, nerding out and seeing if they can get into other people's accounts. They're getting really sophisticated. There's a lot of, around the world, there's a lot of groups that are funded by certain governments or bad actors, and they can just track things, and technology changes so quickly. But yeah, there are a lot of things you can do. So changing the password is one. The two-factor authentication that you mentioned is one, which basically you'll see you just need another device to authenticate your login besides just your password and your username. That's one. And basically just be aware, right? You can also track the IP log on these devices. And if you can't figure out how to do that, you need to contact the manufacturer of the device and see if you can access that. One of the big problems here that I spoke with experts on is that a lot of these devices, they're coming out at a really breakneck pace, right? We're currently this year, there are about 14.2 billion connected devices in use in homes, and they expect that to be up to 25 billion devices by 2021.
Well, thank you.
That's a crazy amount.
Well, thank you for sharing all this information with us, Allie. Nice to meet you. Allie Moradi is technology reporter at the Chicago Tribune.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It is said to be the most romantic day of the year, but there is one thing that can take the bloom off the rose: disagreements over money. Let's discuss financial compatibility with Craig Bolanos. He's founding partner and chief executive officer at Wealth Management Group in Inverness, Illinois. Craig, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. A couple of things that you write here. Some 63% of marriages are starting off in the red, and the money is the number one increase, or it is the number one reason for divorce. Those are pretty strong.
No, those are strong statistics, Chris. You're absolutely right. And what a perfect day to be talking about it. It's Valentine's Day, and I want everybody to focus on love and affection and move away from these differences. And what we see as practitioners that gets people in trouble consistently is having different views on debt. And it's more divisive than ever because so many marriages are starting off in the red because of the college indebtedness, the credit cards, and everything associated with it.
It's interesting to note that the degree to which people are insecure about money, even when they are in a seemingly happy and healthy and compatible relationship.
Oh, you know what? Hands down. I mean, infidelity is the biggest problem. I think financial infidelity time and time again is the other thing. And think about what's happening here. I think for so many of us, you know, when we look at our partner, we're all shaped by our experiences. You know, it's relative to the socioeconomic backgrounds that we grew up in. And I think for couples, especially if they come from a different background, it doesn't mean the relationship's not going to work. It just means they need to be a little bit more forthright and a little bit communicative in order to make things marital bliss.
People are talking out loud about these things now. I think for many years it was just people had the experience, but they really didn't talk about it. They were embarrassed. They were heartbroken. People are talking about this now.
Well, you know what? Money is no longer as taboo as it once was. And one of the big things we're a proponent of is before you tie the so-called proverbial knot, we think it's critically important that people actually get financially naked. I mean, you can't have any hidden accounts. You can't have any hidden debts. There's no simpler way to go ahead and sink the ship than to have things that are hidden on the side. Yet people do it all the time.
Well, thank you very much for the insights, as always. Craig Bolanos, founding partner and chief executive officer of the Wealth Management Group based in Inverness. You can find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app. The latest in business news coming up next.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Let's take a look at today's news and business news with Elisa Peretti.
Chris, the Dow is lower by 31 points, or about a tenth of a percent, at 25,512. NASDAQ higher by 17 points, or a quarter percent. S&P off by 2. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is moving now onto positive territory. Amazon will not put a new headquarters in New York City after all. The company says most New Yorkers support it, but it's responding to pressure from state and local politicians. It is going ahead with plans to build what would have been the other half of its second headquarters in Northern Virginia. Amazon shares came back from deeper losses following that announcement, and all of the tech sector improved. eBay is cutting jobs. TechCrunch reports it will cut between 2 and 3% of its global workforce. That's about 14,000 employees. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.